The government has decided to repeal Section 377A of the Penal Code. Could you tell us why now?
The current legal position on 377A is a very untidy compromise and is vulnerable to challenge in court. It's not possible for us to keep to this status quo for much longer. There have also been four applications in recent years to the Supreme Court, each of them challenging the constitutionality of 377A. None of them have succeeded thus far, including the most recent one that was decided earlier this year. Now, in that recent case, the Court of Appeal decided on a whole range of issues, many things, but it expressly refrained from ruling on whether 377A breaches Article 12 of the Constitution or not, and that's the equal protection provision. And this was because of a series of political compromises not to enforce 377A. And indeed, the Court of Appeal said that 377A is not enforceable. PM said in his speech last evening that the government has studied the CJ's judgment very carefully. The Attorney General has also given advice on it. And in our collective view, there is a significant risk that 377A could be held unconstitutional and struck down on the basis that it is a breach of the equal protection provision. You probably know that this has happened in other countries, not just the Western ones, but also some Asian ones, including India. So we felt we can't ignore this risk and do nothing. Because if that happens, if 377A is struck down, our marriage laws will also come under challenge on the same grounds. This could lead to same-sex marriages being recognised in Singapore. And this in turn will also have an impact on other laws and policies that are built on our existing definition of marriage. Laws such as adoption, public housing, school curriculum, advertising, and so on. All of these could come under challenge. So we felt that the government should take responsibility and act now. Such issues, these are ones that are best resolved by the elected government and by Parliament, rather than in the courts, which deals and looks at the issues only from a very strict legal position. And that's why, along with the repeal of 377A, we want to also make a series of constitutional amendments to protect the current definition of marriage in the Women's Charter and in the Interpretation Act.
As Edwin said just now, I think it's also important for us to understand why we should not just allow this decision to be made by the courts. The court process is by nature an adversarial one. Any court judgment will lead to a win-lose outcome for the parties involved. And such an outcome will divide and polarize our society further. The courts themselves have said that the political realm is the more obvious choice for such decisions to be made, because through a political process, we can accommodate and balance the different views and aspirations of Singaporeans. And we know that by and large, Singapore remains a conservative society. At the same time, attitudes continue to evolve, especially amongst younger Singaporeans who are more accepting of LGBT persons. And even amongst those who would like to retain 377A, as PM said yesterday, most do not want to see it actively enforced with criminal penalties, because they recognize that a person's sexual orientation and behavior is private and personal and should not become a criminal offense. So the repeal of 377A, as what we are trying to do in a very careful and controlled manner, will reflect these societal attitudes. We also know, and I understand, that there are people who feel that this matter is not just about 377A, but the law itself is a marker for things they care deeply about, including family, marriage, and social norms. And that's why we are also at the same time proposing an amendment to the Constitution to protect the definition of marriage. So through this package of measures, we hope that we can arrive at a new and more sustainable balance that will enable Singapore to remain a harmonious, tolerant and inclusive society.
PM Lee, as well as both of you, spoke about amending the Constitution to protect the definition of marriage. Now, can you explain the Constitution amendment that you have in mind?
So the government will repeal 377A, and the impact of that is to remove the criminalisation of gay sex. At the same time, we will also propose an amendment to the Constitution to safeguard the existing definition of marriage as between one man and one woman and protect it from constitutional challenge. This protection will also be extended to other laws and policies which depend on this current definition of marriage, such as public housing and others that I mentioned earlier. This would allow the government to continue to make laws and other social policies which depend on a heterosexual marriage as its foundation without being challenged in court on constitutional basis. We think that taken together, this is a package of amendments that best reflects the right balance of interest between those who feel that gay sex should no longer be criminal and the majority of Singaporeans who still hold dear to family values and a traditional marriage.
Why not entrench the definition of marriage in constitution as some of the churches ask?
On the one hand, this may satisfy some segments of society, but on the other hand, it may also rile up other segments. And if we did this, if we hard-coded marriage in this way, in the most fundamental legal document in Singapore, we may end up prompting those who disagree with this position to campaign, to mobilise, agitate, perhaps even with greater intensity. And we don't think this would be good for society. But the main reason why we don't think this should be done is because it may not be appropriate to entrench something like the definition of marriage in the Constitution. This entrenchment would elevate marriage to the same level as fundamental rights in our Constitution, things like rights such as life and personal liberty. And this would fundamentally change the whole complexion and the schema of the Constitution. Let me add that what I said earlier, in fact, we are proposing a very carefully calibrated package of amendments to strike the right balance for Singapore. Decriminalising gay sex on the one hand, but at the same time putting in place a series of other measures which are quite unprecedented to safeguard the institution of marriage and also the laws and policies which rest on that. So we think these are all very significant steps.
Now, with the decision to repeal Section 377A, do you think there is a political price to pay for the government and for the People's Action Party?
That's not how we look at the issue. I've been in public service long enough to know that in government, you can't please everyone all of the time. You have to focus on doing what is right. In this case, as we've explained, we are trying to do a limited controlled repeal of 377A and to achieve a new balance that reflects societal attitudes while preserving unity. We are limiting the change to what we believe most Singaporeans will accept, which is to decriminalize sexual relations between consenting adults in private. I believe that's the right thing to do and that most Singaporeans will understand and support such a move. At the same time, we are retaining and upholding what most Singaporeans want, which is to uphold our current family and social norms. So we believe this package of move is the right balance to strike. I know not everyone will be happy with this proposal. Some will want us to move more further. Others will say that we are going too far. But in the end, the government has to make a judgment and do what we believe is right for the wider good of Singapore and Singaporeans. And I would say that in a society like ours, where there are diverse and sometimes opposing views, it is not possible for any single group to have everything that they want. We have to learn to compromise, to arrive at solutions where most people are comfortable with and live harmoniously together. That is the Singapore way. That's how we have dealt with sensitive issues in the past. That's how we are dealing with this issue now. And that's how we can continue to deal with sensitive issues going forward while keeping our social fabric intact.
Now, why not hold a referendum on the repeal of Section 377A?
The Constitution states that a referendum is required only when sovereignty is at stake. And as all of us know, in Singapore's history, we've only had a referendum once in the merger with Malaya. So the bar for a referendum is set very high. And repealing 377A is very far from reaching this bar because we are repealing a law which the courts have already said we cannot enforce. And even as we go about repealing the law, we are taking steps to ensure that the current family and social norms do not change. We are taking further steps to make sure that this repeal does not trigger further societal changes. So we believe this certainly does not meet the bar for a referendum. In any case, for those who think that having a referendum will provide resolution and make things better, that may not necessarily happen. In fact, it may well have the opposite effect. Because you can just look at what other countries have done in holding referendums on sensitive issues. Take the example of Brexit in the or the Scottish independence in the UK. Far from resolving the issue, finding closure and moving forward, these referendums have deepened divisions in their societies.
DPM Minister, my question is on still on the protection of the definition of marriage. Given how social attitudes change and evolve over time, as DPM, you mentioned in an earlier response, why is the government amending the constitution now and locking in the protection for the definition of marriage?
Let me take that. Well, it's correct. The societal attitudes will shift, will change with time. Values, mores, gradually evolve over time. Whilst they are shifting at this point in time, as DPM has mentioned, Singaporeans see that it is right to decriminalise private behaviour between consenting individuals. But at the same time, the prevailing value today is centred around the traditional stable family unit, having children within this unit, raising children within this unit, and ensuring that the societal laws, policies support this. And we do not see this changing for many years to come, which is why we've decided to take the step to build in these safeguards to preclude further constitutional challenges like we've seen on 377A against other social policies as well. Marriage as a social institution should reflect these prevailing views, and we think that this is best achieved by the balanced package of amendments that I've just outlined.
My next question is on the impact of this repeal on other national policies. I know both ministers, you've stressed that there will be no major changes to these policies, but how do you prevent the cascading effect of this repeal that some conservatives in society are worried about?
Sure. Well, let me be very clear. The government will continue to uphold our family-centred policies. We are fully committed to that, and we will continue to uphold marriage as defined as between men and women. PM himself said this very clearly in his speech. The PAP government will not change the current definition of marriage. So this will not change. This will not happen under the watch of the current Prime Minister. And it will not happen under my watch if the PAP government, PAP were to win the next general election. Likewise, we will not change the laws and policies that rely on this definition of marriage, and that relates to how public housing, adoption, what we teach our children in schools, advertising standards, film classification, and so on. Basically, the overall tone of our society will not change. Our laws and policies will remain the same. I know that there are some Singaporeans who are also concerned beyond changes on laws and policies, concerned about the excesses of activism and advocacy on both sides, pro-LGBT and anti-LGBT. Some have given us feedback that they have been subject to discrimination or even being harassed when they speak out and when they practice their faith and beliefs. We are monitoring this very closely, and we will take action and take steps against any such acts of discrimination or harassment. There is no place for such behaviours in Singapore. No one should feel threatened because of their religious affiliation. No one should feel threatened because they are LGBT. Finally, I would just urge everyone to exercise restraint and tolerance. I know these are issues where people, you know, feel a lot of emotions about, but if one side were to push too hard, the other side will push back even harder, and we will end up splitting our society. So let us instead find ways to come together, learn to compromise, accommodate each other, focus on the common ground which we share, which is significant, and continue to work at building an ever more cohesive and united society.
While the current definition of marriage will be protected by the Constitution, what will the government's response be if the LGBTQ community starts advocating for other legal recognition of committed relationships, such as civil unions?
As I mentioned just now, we are committed to ensuring that our current family and social norms remain the same, so we do not have any plans to go further.
Will the PAP lift the whip for the debate in Parliament on repealing Section 377A and amending the Constitution?
Well, as I mentioned just now, what we are proposing to do pertains to a very limited and very careful and controlled repeal of 377A. And in our minds, this is a matter of public policy, because we are repealing a law which the courts have already said is not going to be enforced. And at the same time, even as we were to repeal this law, we are making sure that we are putting in place measures to make sure that it will not trigger further societal changes. For from that point of view, this is really a matter of public policy, and we do not intend to lift the whip when this matter is debated in Parliament later on.
So how will the government reconcile the national position on marriage with the position taken by perhaps local and international companies? So some companies may have opted, already taken the position to recognize same-sex marriage or partners of their employees and extend traditional spousal benefits to them already.
Sure, we have always emphasized that these matters are for Singapore and Singaporeans to decide. Other countries do what they wish based on their norms, based on their circumstances. But in Singapore, we decide what our social norms are, what family and marriage is about. And I think if you look at where we are in society, just as I've stated, Singapore remains by and large a conservative society. And while attitudes are evolving with regards to younger people being more accepting of LGBT persons, younger people recognizing that we need not criminalize the sexual behaviors of persons in consenting adults in private, I believe there's still many people in Singapore who care deeply about families, about marriage, and would like to keep it that way.